the Sports Talk with Devin Wade recap.
Viking hair, brown teeth,
and any given Sunday, anything can happen.
What we think so far? Lakers, were they oversold?
Welcome to the Sports Talk with Devin Wade briefcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. It's a briefcast where we come to you usually with one guest, one subject, a shorter show than the usual shows without some of the features, without the Lamont Award or some of the other things that we like to do. But this time out, it's March Madness. And boy, it's been maddening for me. I've been extremely busy. Some great things have been happening for us, for KTSU Sports Talk, for me personally. And it's been a wonderful run here as we work hard to continue to expand and grow. And I want to thank you guys for word of mouth and doing all that you do to spread the word and tell people around the water cooler, as it were, or wherever you talk to people or interact with people. We certainly appreciate it because the show continues to grow. The podcast continues to grow, and it's primarily because it's really singularly because of you and your input and your output and all the information that you like to share. This time out, we were going to do a whole episode, but I have to get this out because I simply ran out of time. Logistically, I couldn't get it done. But we had a conversation prior to the NCAA tournament, Final Four, with head coach, Prairie View A&M head basketball coach Byron Smith, friend of the show, one of the really the special teams unit. He's part of the special teams unit. He's one of those people we can call on that's an expert in his area, and he can give us a lot of insight. He does this time as well. Now, we do pick brackets. We get into all of that. But we have a great discussion about college basketball and the state of college athletics. It's really, really interesting. And it's always interesting to talk to Coach Smith because he is candid. He's open. He's thoughtful about what he says and how he feels about the game. He's passionate about basketball. And that's always infectious. So we certainly appreciate that. Now, let me tell you what's happening. Our guy, King T, Terrence Harris, frequent participant on the podcast. Obviously, he is with the Defender Network, and he did a nice, really, really nice feature on KTSU Sports Talk. They came out. He did his interviews with us. He had a photographer with him. They did great work and a great article in this week's Defender Network publication. So if you can get the Defender or the hard copy, that would be great. Silver Fox will be signing those. Kevin Allen will be signing those. And you know, he'll autograph that for you if you like. But go online, thedefendernetwork.com. I have posted it everywhere. So we want to make sure we get those clicks because he really pitched the concept of doing a story about us. And, yeah, and I think that he captured the essence of what we do each and every Saturday really, really accurately. So we certainly appreciate that. Shouts out to our guy Terrence Harris for that. Also, shouts out to Hollywood Nate Griffin. Nate Griffin from Fox 26 had a chance to be on with him this morning and give my brackets, which are not quite busted, but some things that I thought might happen did not. One of my dark horses, and I'll have to say this, I co-opted a lot of my ideas, or some of my ideas, from Coach Byron Smith, because I had a discussion with him last night, and I was on the air on television this morning. So if it sounds familiar, what I said on Fox 26 this morning sounds familiar, you can attribute some of that to Coach Byron Smith. I would like to think not all of it, but I probably co-opted a bunch of his ideas. But want to remind you guys, if you want to be a part of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade community, you can do so several ways, and we want to have you continue to engage. Obviously, we did brackets for KTSU Sports Talk, but that's clearly that was for all of our Sports Talk with Devin Wade listeners as well. A lot of you guys overlap, so we certainly appreciate that. But you can call the sports line 24 hours a day, 832-941-6614. Leave a message, a question, a comment, a rebuttal. If you want to rebut or refute something that, not refute necessarily, but rebut an opinion you heard on the show, you certainly can. Whatever you want to get into, you can leave a message, and you just might make it on the next podcast, 832-941-6614. In addition to that, you can go to the Sports Talk with Devin Wade page on Facebook. There are always questions. I posted the opportunity to be a part of the brackets. I did that there. In addition to that, there's always stories being posted. There's always interaction between all the wonderful folks who are part of the page. You can be a part of that. If you have a team and you want to share information or talk noise about your team, you certainly can. That's the location. Now, we have the website. Website is not something that I am, it's not up to my standards, but it's there. WadesWordProductions.com. And finally, on social media, on Instagram, at The Devin Wade, on Threads, at The Devin Wade, and on X, at Wade's Word. So there you have it. All of those things and all of those ways are ways that you can get at me and be a part of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade community. So here are the picks that I gave this morning. I've done four brackets, right? But I'm going to go with University of Houston. I have my doubts about the depth, and I have doubts about the fact that they have to settle for too many jump shots. The only guy, Shedd, can get to the basket anytime he wants to. He's an All-American guard. First team, congratulations to him for that. But, man, you're going to need two or three guys. If they're hot, they can beat anybody, and I mean anybody. They don't seem to have the same defensive effectiveness as in past years. I think teams kind of know who they are and what they do, and they are a little bit better prepared for them in that way. But, you know, we're talking about picking apart a beauty queen. This is the number one team in the nation for a lot of the year. This is a number one seed, and this team can, and the rankings indicate that a lot of people think that they can win a national championship. So we pick them apart, and I talk about the front court being sort of thin. They had injuries. When you talk about some of the deficiencies they have, you're still talking about a number one seed. So let's not be too negative about this team. And I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you guys. But I picked them to come out of the South. If you are looking for a dark horse, Marquette and Shaka Smart, the number two seed, they can do some stuff as well. He's either feast or famine with his success in the tournament. Shaka Smart is, who left Texas for Marquette, if I can say it. But the other team that I looked to was James Madison as your dark horse in that region. But here's the deal. The tournament is underway. By the time you hear this, the tournament is underway. Kentucky is already out. So if you had Kentucky in the South, that's one more team that would have been an obstacle for U of H that is out of the tournament. Wow, that was the upset of the day. And you had Oakland defeating Kentucky. So that was it. In the Midwest region, I have Creighton coming out of the Midwest. If you're looking for a dark horse in that region, or an alternative, you can look for Texas. Tennessee is another team that is in contention. I think Texas will beat Rick Barnes, their former coach, when they face each other in the second round. So let's take Texas there. But I think Creighton will come out of the region. The team that was the dark horse, and a lot of people's dark horse, but they're already done, McNeese State. And we talk a little bit about McNeese State. Could not defeat Gonzaga, and they are done 30-4 on the season. In the West, North Carolina is the team I'm rolling with over Baylor, who is in contention. And then you look out for Michigan State, maybe an upset or two. You know Tom Izzo always has his team ready to play and ready to go deep into the tournament, even if they are inferior, didn't have a great regular season. Finally, in the East, Iowa State. I am taking Iowa State over UConn. I just was so impressed by them all season long, especially when I watched them up close versus U of H, where they won 2 out of 3 versus the number one team in the South region. Illinois is another team you can look out for. So on the women's side, South Carolina, Texas, LSU, and UConn are my final four. Didn't get a chance to go into that like I wanted to. I would have spent more time on the women's bracket, just simply ran out of time. So with that, let's get into our conversation with friend of the show, Prairie View A&M head coach Byron Smith. Thanks so much for rejoining us. It's been a minute. And of course, you know, you have a day job, so I have to pick my spots when I choose to try to get you to come aboard. But so glad to have you back. How are things going these days?
Things going well. Just busy recruiting, trying to, you know, kind of rebuild, you know, our program. A little bit of an off year, down year, but just trying to piece it back together. Just recruiting right now, like a lot of coaches in college basketball are.
And when the postseason comes, and obviously, unless you're the SWAC representative, your season would have been over anyway, but it didn't go the way you wanted it. Do you disengage from other basketball activities? Obviously, you have to do the job of recruiting, but like watching the Final Four, participating, getting, you know, watching what's going on the basketball landscape, do you engage in that, or do you need that space to sort of just focus on recruiting or whatever it is you need to do for your program?
Yeah, I'm an everyday basketball guy. I don't take breaks. I don't take, you know, time away from it. My thoughts are always on it, how to improve, how to get better, myself first and foremost. I stay engaged. I watch games. I watch film. Obviously, we recruit. We go back, you know, play out things that we wanted to do this year or tried to do this year schematically and, you know, see, you know, if it did work, you know, how we can improve it. If it didn't work, you know, how we can get it to the point to where it does work. So yeah, I'm an everyday basketball guy. It's what I do. It's what I'm called to do. And you know, quite happy to be in the space to be able to do it every day.
During the season, I can imagine you can't see a lot of other basketball, but how much were you able to see of the other teams that are involved in, say, the tournament throughout the season?
You know, not a lot. Probably not as much as I probably should. You know, I just really always stay focused on what we need to do. So Didn't really get a chance to watch a lot of the other teams like in our conference, and because you just kind of lock in and just stay focused on what you need to improve on. So, but I think moving forward, you know, some of the improvements, and we always have to improve every day to be better at our craft. You know, I probably should start paying a little bit more attention to kind of what's around us, what's going on, who's doing what, to give us a better chance to, you know, be successful. You know, when we come up against teams that, you know, in our conference, teams out of our conference, you know, the whole gamut.
So, Grambling represents the SWAC. They're in a playing game tonight. What are your thoughts about, obviously, those are your rivals, but on a larger scale, SWAC success in any form or fashion, I would imagine, helps boost and bolster your program. How do you feel about Grambling State winning the SWAC and actually going to the tournament for the very first time?
I mean, obviously, my hat goes off. I think, you know, Dante Jackson's done a really, really good job in just kind of building it. You know what I mean? He's kind of come up short, you know, the past few years. But, you know, the good thing about it for them is that they've been able to maintain some continuity and return players and keep his core group together, which is an advantage for any program. So he's been able to do that. How, you know, I don't know. You know, with this transfer portal being as fluid as it is, and kids are always kind of jumping, thinking the grass is green on the other side. But the fact he's been able to keep his core team together, I think you tip your hat to him for doing that. Recruiting his own players is very difficult now. Keeping them aboard is very difficult. Secondly, I'm happy because, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a Louisiana guy. I grew up in the North Louisiana area. All my family members attended Grambling State University. From that end, very happy, you know, for the institution, rich in tradition. And third, like you say, you know, just the conference itself. I think whenever we continue to, you know, display excellence as Grambling did this year, and obviously Texas Southern the previous years, I think it gets mainstream media's attention. I think, it, like you say, it bolsters the entire conference. It helps everybody from a visibility standpoint. The players get more of an opportunity to be seen. I think the coaches are more in discussion, you know, on the national level to be able to, you know, maybe get better opportunities to coach at a higher level. So I think, you know, Grambling, you know, having the success they had this year, like you said, I think it helps everybody. And next year, I'm pretty sure there's a good chance it'll be someone else. So we just keep this thing moving. I think it's positive and it helps everybody.
Well, we talk a little bit about, how difficult a job it is to coach now. And I think when you have, and you and I talked about this a little bit, when you have guys like Nick Saban and Gino Auriemma complaining or expressing their apprehension and their displeasure with the way the direction of the game is going, they're easy targets to say, hey, you don't have room to talk. But then you have a whole nother group of coaches who don't have the, you know, the seven-figure contracts that have to deal with the same sort of challenges. Talk a little bit about the difficulty in being a coach in today's game that only got more complicated with NIL deals and all of those things.
It's difficult. It doesn't impact us as much in the SWAC, in our conference, as some of the bigger conferences, the Power Five conferences. But, you know, I mean, kids are copycat. I mean, they see, you know, kids at Duke, Carolina, you know, UCLA, Kansas, you know, getting opportunities, and they want to know how they can. Maybe they can't get six figures like some of those kids get, but maybe they can get a portion of that. So they're always thinking, right? They're inquiring, you know, because kids have a tremendous amount of confidence. They feel like they're just as good as the kid at Kansas or North Carolina or UCLA Duke, and I think that they should. So it can become a bit of a distraction, you know, there with your program and trying to keep kids focused. But it's forever changing. It seems like every week or every month there's something new. I do know that they're, you know, they're going to do something with this NIL. They're going to try to cap it and you know, get to a certain, you know, there's boundaries or a limit that you can't exceed. And I'm pretty sure that they feel like that would probably discourage some of these kids from jumping ship and moving to other programs. But, you know, the winds of change are blowing, you know, in the world. College athletics is a bunch of money that's floating and flying around. I think kids are starting to pay more attention to, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday's TV deals with ESPN just signing a deal with college football to broadcast the college football playoff, billions and billions and billions of dollars. And these kids are starting to understand their value and their worth. And you can't be mad at them. You know, you just have to make the adjustment, right? And, you know, you talked about Coach Saban and Gino and some of these guys and who've had a tremendous amount of success where they dominated recruiting at one point. Now it's kind of leveled a lot. I guess it doesn't taste as good as maybe as what they thought. And so they do have issues with it. But again, that's not our world in which we live in SWAC. So I'm kind of glad, too, because it would be very, very difficult to navigate through it and to be able to try to balance it out. But I guess that's a big boy problem, Devin, if you will.
Right,
and,
right.
But I sit back and I watch and I pay attention because who's to say that could be me one day, right? That could be some of these other coaches in the SWAC one day. So you need to get the information and know what's really going on. So if you're in that situation, you know how to navigate. You know how to be able to survive in that world.
So we talked about recruiting your own players. How do you do that? And do you get a sense at some point during the season? Can you kind of feel it? Does it kind of trickle back to you? Do you hear whispers that a guy may be discontent in your program? Like, how do you deal with that? Because unlike football, you're only talking about 13, 14, 15 kids. I mean, it's such an intimate relationship because you guys are always together. There's so few of you. How do you navigate that sort of thing, recruiting your own players?
You have to be honest with them. And I'll be honest with you, Devin, sometimes if kids outperform where they are, and from a statistical standpoint, you know, me, just personally, I encourage them to, I guess, test the waters. Maybe it works against me, but I believe in fair value, equal value. You've done a great job. Even in coaching the contract, you had a certain amount of wins and you've had a certain amount of consistency and being successful. I think that you should be in a position where you can maybe look around a little bit. That's just that you only have one life. So, but I'm very honest with these kids and you know, I tell them that, you know, some of the things that you're able to do here, maybe because of the how the roster is constructed, you probably won't be able to do that at this other school that you're looking at. You know, and we hear things, kids talk, they're very open about what they want to do. And most kids, for the most part, it's either one or two things. They're chasing money. If they can get, you know, it may be the only time in their life that they ever actually get paid to play. I think some of the kids think that way, right? And they want to keep up with the Joneses. And secondly, they want a different role, right? They feel like, hey, man, coach ain't letting me shoot the three. And I'm shooting 15% from the three, but I should be able to shoot five threes a game. That's how they think. And so they leave it for one or two reasons. Either they want to get a check or they want a different role. But you just have to be honest with them. But it also depends on their support system, too. If you stay connected with the support system, be it mom, dad, you know, high school coach, AAU coach, family friend, advisor, you have to communicate with them and hopefully you can align yourself with them and they can understand what you're trying to do to be able to give the kid the best opportunity to be successful, but always to be honest with them. And you hope that they can be a bit of a sixth man to you to help you to be able to advise this kid. Hey, you know what, man, this is probably the best situation for you. You probably should stay here at least another year. And if you put up the same numbers another year and you show a certain amount of dominance in your area and your conference, then you should probably pursue another opportunity. I think you're well within your right.
So structurally, like from a relationship standpoint, it used to be going to sit down with mom, promising mom you're going to take care of the kid. And obviously that has changed tremendously. You have AAU coaches. You have, like you said, advisors. By and large, who are you dealing with these days? Is it still mostly parents, or are you really dealing with a lot of AAU coaches and people that are, you know, they want to get in on the mix or be an advisor for the kid or whatever? What do you run into generally?
Everything, right? It starts, you know, it starts with, you know, this person, then it becomes another person. And then, you know, kids come on a visit and you see two more guys. Well, who are these people? You know what I mean? It varies. But most times in this day and age, a kid's going to have more than two people that are kind of at the table in the 11th hour making one of the biggest decisions of their life. And you just have to respect it. You know, you don't have to maybe like it, but you have to respect it. But you're dealing with all different types. And, you know, I think the mothers, obviously, you know, have become a whole lot more involved. When I did AAU 15, 18 years ago, they, you know, were a lot probably not as well versed in how things worked. They would show up and they would kind of be seen and not heard. Now, moms have just kind of learned the game, learn how things go. So they're a whole lot more engaged, a whole lot more involved, you know, when you're recruiting a kid. But with this NIL stuff, man, I mean, that's a whole nother bear that I'm glad we don't have to deal with. But you're dealing with a lot of people. And unfortunately, in some cases, the outside people, a school that you may be at, if they don't really think it's a benefit for you to go there, you know, then they may talk against it, which kind of becomes a problem. But you have to know who is in that kid's ear, who that kid is going to lean on to make one of the most important decisions of his life. And, you know, but again, then it's a variety of people that you kind of have to deal with, and you just have to make the adjustment. Coach Saban wasn't willing to do it anymore at his age and the stage of where he was in life and what he had accomplished. And, you know, Coach Auriemma, you know, you spoke about, you know, I guess he's kind of heading in that direction. Like, you know, they just really don't want to, you know, be in that space anymore. And so Coach Saban retired, and I think quite a few more coaches, you know, changing jobs, you know, leaving smaller schools to go be coordinators or position coaches in college football. I think you're probably getting ready to see some, you know, mid to lower major basketball coaches probably doing the same thing, because they just don't really want to deal with all the different, you know, the new additions to recruiting, which can be taxing on you. It can be very, very nerve-wracking.
So. Yeah, I can only imagine. And again, you know, the fortunes of so many of these coaches are, you know, determined by the whims of a 17-year-old and his counsel, as it were. Mm-hmm. Do you ever foresee the day where, and again, I have a real problem, and I understand the complications involved, but I have a real problem when you talk about the $7 billion deal ESPN is paying out for the playoffs. That money's going to the institutions. The institutions themselves do not have to pay the kids. The kids get paid on name, image, and likeness. Do you foresee a day where the institutions at some point, especially when you talk about Power Five, will have to themselves pay or employ the student athletes?
I don't foresee that in the immediate, but I think that you probably would alleviate a lot of problems if they would. And I think that the transfer portal would shrink if the own institutions could compensate the players adequately. I don't know how you do that. Basketball, like I said, is much easier. Smaller numbers. Football, you got over 100 and some kids. That could become problematic.
Title IX,
all that. Yep, you got to deal with that too, you know, which is obviously fair. It's equal rights in this country. No discrimination. But I definitely think if there was a way that they could do that, I think that it would alleviate a lot of the problems that we're having right now with so many kids jumping ship.
Well, we've had a lot of serious questions. Let's have a little bit of fun now, because on a bigger level, you are emotionally invested, I'm sure, in your alma mater's success, the number one team in the nation for a lot of the season, Houston Cougars, number one seed in the South region. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. I mean, I don't know if you're a bracketologist or not. I don't know how involved you get with that, but let's take a swing at these brackets, and so I can pick your brain as I start to pick up and make my picks for my bracket. I've already made them, and of course, the first one I do is always I lead with my heart. So understandably, being a native Houstonian, I got the Cougars winning it all. But obviously, I know that there's some challenges that they are going to face.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal about the tournament. It's all about matchups. If there's an upset in the first round, say if a Duke or a Kentucky or Marquette in your region gets upset, now all of a sudden you don't have to face them. You may be playing a James Madison or a Texas Tech for a trip too. So, you know, it gets really, really – if you just had that one upset, it makes your bracket a lot easier. What do you think of the South region and the Houston Cougars' potential path to get to the NCAA Final Four?
With them being the number one team, I think that they'll probably have more problems this year than any other team going into the last 3 or 4 years. I think that the construction of the team, it's solid, and I think they played a really, really good regular season. I don't think that they would show the same dominance in the tournament that they did in the regular season. I think that they lack a little bit of depth. I think Sasser was probably way better than what people realize. I mean, I think he was obviously a first-round draft pick, and kudos to him for that. But I think he was probably way more impactful than what people even realize in terms of shot-making. I think L.J. Cryer is a very, very good player. I don't think he's a Marcus Sasser. And so I think that's the one piece that they're desperately missing right now, because they're obviously going to run into, at some point in time, they're going to run into a team that's just as physical, that probably plays just as hard, like they did in the past with, you know, Villanova and Miami last year. And so I think that it's going to be a very difficult NCAA tournament. I'm rooting for them all the way. And Coach Sam's done an unbelievable job. You know, I will always support my alma mater just like anybody else. But I think it's going to be a more difficult road for them this year. And, you know, if they won the national championship, I think it would be icing on the cake to a Hall of Fame career for a Hall of Fame coach, you know, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But I just see a few holes that are there that I think at some point in time can kind of come back to cause us some problems.
So let's kind of look at this a little bit closer. When you talk about, okay, let's say we're going to take for granted that they'll beat Longwood, the 16th seed. Houston is not the kind of team that's going to do a Purdue or have one of those major collapses in the opening round. So the next matchup will be Nebraska and A&M. And I know you may not have seen much of either of those teams, but, I mean, which one of those would pose the most problems in the second round for them?
I mean, obviously I would think A&M because of their size. They're big. Right. They got big wings. They got good inside. You know, Henry Coleman kid is a monster on the inside. They got another big 6'10 kid that kind of comes off the bench. And I think they got big wings, got a big point. They're a big team. Smallest kid they got, I think, is Wade Mason. He's right at about 6'2". But Tyrese Radford is a 6'4", 6'5", point guard. The Holloway kid out of New Orleans is a 6'6", 6'7". Big, strong, looks like a tight end. That's athletic as all get out. Probably one of the best athletes in the country. And they play so hard. And they play that 1-2-2 matchup, full-court pressure that I think is kind of hard because they got so much length. It's kind of hard to see over. Jamal Shedd's a small point guard. I think he'll have trouble seeing over the defense. Obviously, they played at the Toyota Center back in December, and U of H was up 20-plus points, and A&M fought back, and I think it ended up being like a 4 or 5-point basketball game. They had two more minutes. A&M probably could have pulled the upset. So I definitely think that A&M will be a much tougher from a physicality standpoint. You got to be physical to have any chance against U of H. I haven't seen Nebraska play a whole lot. I've got a great coach, Fred Hoiberg. I just don't think they're nearly physical enough to be a better matchup against the Cougars than what the Aggies would be.
So then you look down the line. Just say you get past A&M and beat them for a second time this season. Then you got maybe either Duke or James Madison or Vermont or Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Any of those teams I just mentioned, I mean, how would they match up against Duke? Because I think there are going to be some upsets. I think James Madison is a really good team. I think they can take out Wisconsin. But, right. What do you see if Duke makes it that far?
Duke's been really up and down. I don't think that they've been the same since Coach K stepped down. I think Coach Shire has done a solid job, but they got a lot of talent, but I just don't think it's really ever come together yet. I think Wisconsin will be a sleeper team for me because they're just so methodical. They play so well together. They really are a connected group, and I think they will defend. Now, maybe not to the level of U of H, but I think they'll be very hard to guard with their offense, their continuity offense, and moving the basketball. They've got great shooters. And I think they can pose them some problems. They can go on some runs. And I think U of H goes on scoring drought sometimes. You're relying on Shedd and L.J. Cryer to knock down jump shots. Sometimes they can be a tough task. Obviously, they've got the – can't think of the gentleman from Orlando. I can't think of his name.
Well, you, that's a
shooter.
Yeah, Sharp is one, and Dunn is another one. Yeah.
Yeah, and Dunn not really so much of a knockdown guy, but more of a mid range guy off the bounce. But I do think Wisconsin can pose some problems with their style of play. You can shoot the basketball. And the thing about the NCAA tournament, Dev, you know as well as I do, it's not always who's the best team. It's who's playing the best and who plays the best. It's your 40 minutes against their 40 minutes on that particular day on a neutral court, and anything can happen. But I think Wisconsin can really pose some problems with their style of play.
So, like, okay, that was a humiliating, just dominant loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 final.
Yes.
You know, so is it, how impactful – is that, because it feels emotionally, it feels, especially as a supporter of the program, and it feels like, man, that is foreboding, that's foreshadowing of things to come. How easy is it to flip that switch? Obviously, they weren't, you know, Roberts was a little banged up. They weren't, you know, and Iowa State is kind of one of those teams that is built to beat U of H. How demoralizing is that, and can you easily bounce back? Will a win like Friday sort of cure that?
I think because of who's at the helm, who's steering the ship, Kelvin Sampson, I think that's out of their mind. And I think that they'll bounce back. And they've done it several times this year, losing to Kansas, I think Central Florida, losing to Iowa State. They always seem to bounce back. They bounced back after those losses. They got back to being the number one team in the country. I think one person may look at it this way. Hey, you know what? That's a good loss. And if there is such a thing as a good loss, because what it does, what they're saying is it wakes them up. Hey, we needed that to happen. And I think they'll go back. If they are able to accomplish their goals and get to a Final Four, they'll probably go back at that Iowa State loss and say that kind of flipped it for us and kind of got us to refocus or reset and drove us to win, you know, 2, 3, 4 basketball games in a row to get to the Final Four if they make it that far. That's kind of how I see that playing out.
Yeah, so looking at the South, who you have coming out of South? We didn't mention Marquette, didn't say a lot about Kentucky. Who do you have coming out of South? I know you're not looking at a bracket, but off the top of your head, that's the South region. Who do you have coming out of there?
Who some of the teams in there again? Kentucky, Marquette?
Houston, Marquette, number 2 seed. The 3rd seed is Kentucky. 4th is Duke. 5th is Wisconsin. Yeah.
I think it'll be Houston, possibly Wisconsin with – I'm going to give it to the Cougars to come out of there. I got to do that because, you know, I still have to go over there sometime because I do go watch them play sometimes. I don't want to pay for a ticket, Devin, so I'm going to say U of H is coming out of there.
So let's look at the Midwest real quick. Purdue, number 1 seed. Not a lot of confidence. They've been the victim of a lot of upsets. Also in that region, Texas is in that region. Tennessee is the 2 seed. Really hot Creighton team is the 3rd seed. Mm-hmm. Kansas limping into the tournament. Really limping into the tournament as a 4th seed. Who do you see coming out of that Midwest region?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. Obviously, they've got one of the best players in the country. The kid, Nick, is really a great player that kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't really know much about him, but he really can score the basketball. And I think they're just a tough team. Defensively, they get after you. Kansas is limping, like you say. Obviously, I'm a big fan of what they do and what Coach Self does. But I'm going to say Tennessee would be my pick to come out of that because just being battle-tested, playing in a tough SEC, Rick Barnes does a really good job. And I just think that they, you know, they've been playing pretty solid basketball. They didn't really dip too far this year in the SEC. So I would say Tennessee would probably be my pick to come out of that region.
But what about the plot twist of maybe a battle between Texas and Tennessee? You get to face your former head coach. Texas is a tough team. That would be the second round matchup. Can Texas do anything with Tennessee?
I don't think so. I think Texas, to be honest with you, Dev, I think Texas is going to struggle tomorrow or tomorrow night against Colorado State.
Yeah,
Colorado. I think they're going to struggle. I really do. Not saying they can't beat them. I'm pulling for Rodney. You're talking about a good dude, man, a really stand-up guy, Rodney Tier. Tremendous amount of respect for him. I consider him to be a friend in the business. But I think they're going to struggle because I think that just the cohesiveness and the continuity that Colorado State plays with and beating a really solid Virginia team, embarrassing Virginia last night, I think that they're going to be a tough out. Texas has got, you know, more 5-stars. And you got those 5-stars, sometimes they start reading those clippings and, you know, the agents and the runners and stuff like that kind of start to take effect this time of the year. Just don't know how focused they're going to be and, you know, me, and I need to be the guy. I think you sometimes can run into that issue, with teams that have an abundance of talent. But I think the team that's playing more as a unit, playing more cohesive, playing more together with synergy and chemistry, which Colorado State has done all year. I think it's going to be a tough out for Texas when they match up. So I think, again, Tennessee will probably be my pick to come out of that region.
So let's go to the West. You got Carolina, the one seed, the two seed Arizona. Baylor's the third seed. And also in that region, you have St. Mary's, and Alabama's the fourth seed. Who do you see coming out of that? Can Baylor make a run? What about the Flyers of Dayton? Can they get with Arizona? I mean, who do you see coming out of the West region?
I think Baylor's playing pretty well. Obviously, they play really well in the tournament, good guards, but I don't really see that being a deal. Arizona, really, really good, you know, regular season, but I just think that they, you know, probably come up a bit short. I would have to probably say Carolina, because they've been very consistent all year, and I think, you know, Hubert Davis does a really, really good job. I think he's a very underrated coach. Obviously, when you follow, you know, the legends of, you know, the Dean Smiths, Roy Williams, all those people, you're never ever going to get, you know, I think, you know, the recognition that you do, because you're following a legend. But I think he's done a really, really good job quietly. They didn't have the kind of year, I think, last year or year before. They had a bit of a down year. But I think he's done a really good job. He steadied the ship this year. I think they're playing really good basketball. They got talent. They've got some next level guys on that team, which makes a difference. And I would say quietly, I think North Carolina will probably come out of that region.
And finally, the number one overall seed, UConn, in that region, three of last year's Final Four teams. When I talk about Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, also in that region, the number two seed is Iowa State. A team I love. Illinois is a team a lot of people are excited about. And you have Bruce Pearl and Auburn. Can anybody overcome the UConn Huskies to make it to the Final Four?
It's always tough to repeat in anything that you do, you know, other than, you know, probably in middle school, repeating a grade. but it's tough to repeat at that level, right? And UConn, I thought they were by far the best team last year. I thought they had the best athletes. I thought they ran the best offense to get into something, and then their one-on-one ability just kind of took over. I thought they were just better from 1 through 5 than anybody else in the country in terms of breaking guys down and getting to the basket. But they just ran some really good offense. Danny Hurley is a really underrated coach who's on his way to being, you know, getting his fair shot. But it's tough to repeat. It's really tough to repeat. But I think that they will be in the number. I think I'm going to say it's going to be a pick 'em in that one. There's some good teams in that region. But I do think UConn will be somewhere there playing for the right to come out of there. But it's just tough to say, man. Because
Can Iowa State get them? If it came down to Iowa State, could Iowa State get them?
I think so, because they got unbelievable guard play, Iowa State. And they really defend. I mean, they are probably, you know, a close second to U of H and just being – and maybe even better, right, and their overall defense. They really lock you up. We played them this year, Devin, by the way.
Yeah.
And so I know firsthand what they're capable of doing. And I think that they can, you know, but – I really like UConn's style of play. It's fun to watch them play. But, yeah, I would say it's a pick 'em, you know. But UConn probably would get a slight nod for me to come out of that region.
So any team we didn't mention that could, you know, that nobody's really paying a lot of attention to that maybe can have maybe not a Final Four run like last year, which was just bananas. But is there a team you see that, man, nobody's talking about that could really make a run, maybe a 10 seed or higher that you think, man, they're sleeping on these guys?
I got one for you. McNeese State Cowboys.
Been hearing a lot about them. People been whispering about McNeese.
They got their 30-3. That's their record, Devin. More people should be talking about them. But obviously, you know, the small kid on the track type deal and the lower conference, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, they beat Michigan this year. They beat VCU. They had some big wins, right? And they're 30-3, right? They ran through their conference. They've got an excellent coach in Will Wade. You know, obviously, it's a bit of a rebuild or redemption tour for him. But he's shown people that he's an excellent coach. Obviously, it's a lot easier to do it when you're at the Power 5 level, like an LSU with the NIL and the money that you can go out and get players. But when you can dip down a little bit to a mid-major or whatever, however you view McNeese, and you can have that type of dominance, right, to be 30-3, I think 17-1 in your conference. I mean, that speaks volumes about this guy's ability to be able to coach the game of basketball. And they're playing really well right now. I think that they a stat I read that their margin of victory is higher than anybody else in the country. I think their margin of victory is by 18 points, right? And that hasn't just been all people within the conference. It's been some other programs as well. So I would say that I don't know if they can make a Final Four run, but maybe they can be the St. Peter's of 2 years ago or 3 years ago that made an Elite Eight run. That could possibly happen. They got a tough one tomorrow night against Gonzaga. But I do believe if they can get past Gonzaga, which I think is possible, I think that this could be the team that people are talking about here. That's the Cinderella of the 2023-24 NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, you talk about a down Kansas team that could have, they're going to have a hands full with Samford, and then maybe McNeese matches up against a beat up Kansas or a Samford team for an opportunity to play Purdue. And who knows if Purdue will be there, because you got to face TCU. So you're right. I mean, that sets up, you know, it sounds crazy, but if you look at the brackets, it sets up like that. Who's going to win it all?
Wow, you would ask me that. I'm going to probably say, even though I say it's very difficult to repeat, I'm going to go with UConn. I just think that they don't look much different than they did last year. They lost a couple guys to the NBA, but they added a couple guys, too, that are NBA caliber guys. And I just think that they brought back a big core of their team. And I just think that they just got that East Coast toughness, and they just play really well together, and they play with the chip. Which starts with the coach, you know, Danny Hurley. So I'm going to go ahead and say UConn. I'm usually wrong in predicting things.
Most people are.
Games, but that's what we do it, because, you know, it's like you can't win a lottery if you don't buy a ticket. So you got to say somebody. But I would say UConn, to be safe.
And just give me, I mean, we won't go into it, but on the women's side, man, how intriguing is this tournament for them? South Carolina, undefeated again. And then, of course, they couldn't finish the deal last year. You got Iowa, you got USC and Juju Watkins. You have Texas. Mm-hmm. You have UConn with Paige Beckers. Mm-hmm. And then LSU. Who's going to win it on the women's side?
I'm going to say South Carolina. They haven't lost a game yet. So until they get beat, they won't get beat. So I think that they're going to come away with it. I think they're the most well-rounded team. In all positions, they're good. They got athleticism. They got size. They got speed, quickness, toughness. And an excellent coach on the bench, excellent staff on the bench. And they've been there. The battle test, they've won it before. Been in this situation before. I don't see really anyone beating them. I know Caitlin Clark is the America's, darling or whatever. They'd like to see an Iowa have a chance to be that. Wouldn't that be a storybook ending to have, in their mind, the best player in college basketball win a national championship? But I think the safe bet would probably be South Carolina to win it this year.
Yeah, man, it was. It's been an exciting year on the women's side and the men's side. Well, Coach, man, this is the first visit. Now, the next visit we'll probably be talking about NBA playoff basketball. Okay. Maybe just maybe the Rockets can get in on that last. They're only a couple games out of that last playoff spot in the West. So maybe we'll be talking about some. Well, you know, we'll definitely be talking about some NBA. But we certainly appreciate the time, as always. And boy, I'm going to send you a bracket. Now, whether you're able to fill it out before time, and we're going to get you in the KTSU group to see if you can make some picks with us and show us why we're amateurs at this thing.
I definitely will take you up on that and help any way that I can. I appreciate the opportunity, Devin. Always a pleasure to talk to you, spend some time with you, and share my experiences in this game. And it's always a fun deal for me. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Coach, we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, my man. Thank you so much.
To have your comments heard, call 832-941-6614.
Certainly want to thank Coach Byron Smith, and it just makes me mad at myself that I haven't had more conversations with him. It's been a while, but we're going to fix that, and he'll be on to talk more NBA and basketball in general. Of course, I know you appreciated that conversation. I certainly did. Getting out of here, but before I let go, I want to thank Coach Byron Smith. I want to remind you, go to the Sports Talk with Devin Wade group page. Go check out the Defending Network and the story on KTSU Sports Talk. Let's see. On Twitter at Wade's Word, on Threads, and on Instagram at The Devin Wade. Sports Talk with Devin Wade group, 832-941-6614. And I'll tell you, we'll talk more brackets, more NFL free agency. We have a ton of good stuff. Opening day for the Astros, a lot to get into. But if you can't remember any of that, please remember these four things.
Number one, I don't do no favors after 6 o'clock in the evening. Two, I ain't got no money. Three, I'm not harboring any fugitives from justice. And four, bye.
This has been the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Wade's Word. Thank you for listening.